Chapter, and we'll begin reading from verse 1 through 8 for our text. Romans 8, beginning verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after self, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and what he's saying there, by the way, Paul speaks to us about the law of Christ, the law of life in Christ Jesus, and he's contrasting that to the law of life, which is what you're naturally born with. In Genesis 1:11 says, every seed shall bring forth after his kind. So it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me law, made me free from the law of sin and death. In other words, there's something that takes place when you're born again, and it takes over this life. And you're actually freed up from the nature of this life to serve God after the Spirit of life that Christ uses. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the right wiseness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after self, but after the Spirit. For they that are after self do mind the things of self, but they that are after the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. For to be self-centric is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because a self-centric mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are into self cannot please God. For you are not into self, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we humbly and reverently approach thy word this morning, knowing, Father, that we have just read scripture which in most cases is not used on Easter morning. Because we find among the churches, most people reflect back 2,000 years ago. And it's a memorial service to them. But to us, Father, who are living and made alive by the resurrection of Jesus Christ out from among those that are dead, to those of us who trust that your divine presence, your divine life, your Holy Spirit is living in us, this is a resurrection message. It is a message of life. It is a message of God life, eternal life. And so, Father, we just ask you that you would help us this morning to honor that, not only that great day, but honor your presence, your living, your life that is within us. And remember always that had your Son not gone to the grave, your Spirit would not have come back upon your children. So, Father, we commit this service into thy hands. In Jesus Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, these words, especially the last few words, where Paul says, but you are not into self, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. These are very important for us to understand, because what the Apostle Paul is telling us here is that if you are into self, you cannot be into God. You can't be into self and be into God at the same time. And thus you're not born again. He said, if the Spirit of God dwells in you, you will not be into self, but you will be into the Spirit of God. And if you're not born again of God's Spirit, then you're just none of his. Now, I think these are resurrection words the Apostle Paul is telling us here, because He's letting you know how that you can tell whether the Spirit of Christ has come into your life and has taken over your living of your life or not. And if you have received the Spirit of resurrection and life into your mortal body, then you will surely die to self and you'll live unto Christ. Now let's continue reading this morning from Romans 8, and we'll pick up at verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of right wisdom. But as the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now for the next few minutes, I would like to do a comparative study of this verse from several translations, because the wording of the King James Version is somewhat confusing. It says, you know, but if the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of Jesus. And what do those words really mean? Well, from the Weiss translation, he says, but as for you, you are not in the sphere of the sinful nature, but rather you are in the sphere of the Spirit, provided that the Spirit of God is resident in you. But assuming that the person does not have Christ's Spirit, this one does not believe to him, or excuse me, this one does not belong to him. But assuming that Christ is in you, on the one hand, the body is dead on account of sin, but on the other hand, the human spirit is alive on account of right wisdom. And assuming that the Spirit of the one who raised up Jesus from among the dead is resident in you, he who raised from among the dead Christ Jesus will make alive your mortal bodies through the agency of the Spirit who is resident in you. So then, brethren, we are those under obligation not to the sinful nature, to live habitually under dominion of the sinful nature, for assuming that by the Spirit you have habitually putting to death the deeds of self, you will live. In other words, Paul is telling us, look, you're a dual being. And within you is the old self, which is the human nature that you were born with. But in you also, if you're born again, there's God Himself residing in you. God's life, God's Spirit, His nature. Now what I'm seeing here is that when you are born again and God begins making your body come into obedience to His Word, something happens within us that's like flipping on a switch to the opposition. Where you were once tied to flesh and living in sin, you are now lit up by the power of the resurrection life that is now living in you. In other words, it's like a switch is flipped on and all of a sudden everything becomes illuminated. You understand why you're here. You understand what life is about. You understand it's not just, you know, doing things to build up self and build up career and build up all these things, but it's rather it's learning to possess your vessels. You're walking through a time, as we brought up last Sunday. You're walking through a time that you're learning how to become sons and daughters of God. You're becoming kings and priests. You're going to live with a glorified body for an eternity, and we're learning how to live and be led by the Spirit of God. From Jehovah Jireh, Brother Branham said, now God help that He'll turn the little switch in your heart. Friends, this week, you've seen the great Holy Spirit among us. There's no question to that. But, oh, let that little light be turned on tonight. And from Shalom, he said, oh, church, turn to the Word, get back to the Word, flip the right switch, quit punching around on electric lights, artificial man-made. Turn to His Word and see the promises of today. And then see what the promise is and watch for His identification. When it's vindicated, then you'll know that your light is on or not. In other words, when the Word lights up around you and you're lit up to the Word, then you know whether you have the God who created all things residence in you. From Jehovah Jireh, he said, there's a man here that's among us tonight, the Holy Spirit. He can turn on the lights. He is the Word, a man here that can turn on the lights. I don't know how that he'll do it. It's not for me to know, but he knows how to turn that switch on. He made the promise. Now, every one of us goes through a different sphere of, or different circumstances in our life, but we all have one thing in common, if we're sons and daughters of God. And that's somewhere down the road, God flipped a switch in your life and turned you from just a heathen-bound, earth self-centric person to a God-fearing son and daughter of God. Now, this switch that he's talking about has been flipped on, and you are no longer tied to your sinful nature, to your flesh that was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come forth to the world speaking lies, but rather now your focus entirely is upon him who has taken over your mortal being. Now, if a man is possessed by the devil, he knows it. Wouldn't you think a man would know it if he's possessed by God? Brother Brad calls this thing that happens, the resurrection power of God within you. From his sermon, The Token, Brother Brown says, the token is the resurrection power. Showing that Jesus raised up from the dead, and you raised up from the dead, and the dead things of unbelief, and have been made alive in the word of Jesus Christ. You believe it, and the word lives through you. This is the whole purpose of Easter. It's not Easter bunny. No, that's heathen. Easter baskets, that's heathen. All that stuff is heathen. It's Catholic is what it is. They brought in a bunch of pagan symbolisms, and they brought it into Christianity, and they made it kind of a thing that people do. But it has nothing to do with Christ. It's totally heathen. But resurrection, Easter is about resurrection. And not so much 2,000 years ago, what happened 2,000 years ago. It should be about what has happened to me today. And Brother Branham said, you know, it's very wonderful what God did to his son. He raised him from the dead. But he said, but what does that have to do with me? And that should be your approach to the gospel. What does it have to do with me? How can it change me? What can it do for me? I'm happy to know these things took place 2,000 years ago. But what about today? What about in my life? I'm glad they happened 50 years ago when a man called William Branham, that he was so filled with the Holy Ghost, who saw great signs and wonders. But what about today? What about me? Where do I fit in this equation? So Brother Branham speaks of the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus being in his sermon, The Comforter, where he says, what is it? God's word anchored in your flesh that gives you eternal life, that gives you the resurrection power to bring you from things of the world, from blind traditions of man, to walk in the sunlight of the health of God. That's what the Comforter does. It lifts you out of that cellar condition. It brings you up into the presence of God and gives you an experience with God that you can scream with Job of old, I know my Redeemer liveth. Then if he is the Word, and we refuse to walk in the light as he is in the light, then our fellowship with God is cut off. But when we see the light and walk in the light as he is the light, then we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Notice the word of the Apostle Paul in Romans 8, in verse 9-11, from the version called The Message. And while I'm reading, I want you to focus on the resurrection power that comes into you when God's Spirit enters and indwells in you. And remember, this is the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from among the dead, so it is the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit living and dwelling in you. That is what Easter is all about. From the Message version, verses 9-11, but if God himself, now think about that, the creator of all the heavens and the earth, if God himself has taken up residence in your life, you can hardly be thinking more of yourself than of him. So if you're thinking more of yourself than you are thinking of him, has God taken up residence in your life? That's one way to check yourself. You stand before the mirror and you look at yourself and say, well, how do I look and how are people going to think that I'm looking? Or are you standing before the mirror of this word and saying, what is God thinking about my soul, my life? If God himself has taken up residence in your life, you can hardly be thinking more of yourself than of him. Anyone, of course, who has not welcomed this invisible but clearly present God, the Spirit of Christ, won't know what we're talking about. But for you who welcome him in whom he dwells, Even though you still experience all the limitations of sin, you yourself experience life on God's terms. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, He'll do the same things in you that He did in Jesus, bringing you alive to Himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and He does as surely as He did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. With His Spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ's body was. Now forgive me if my reading these texts comes off a little halting, but I'm having trouble with my vision this morning because I woke up and actually everything was like a blur. And it's from the pollen. Every year this happens, my eyes swell up. And so just bear with me if I read a word wrong, because the text is blown up as big as I can get it on the page. So when God's resurrection spirit comes into your vessel to live, Paul tells us it brings with it the same resurrection power that raised up Jesus from the dead. I want you to stop. Just focus on that. The very same resurrection spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is now dwelling in you. If you've opened up your threefold home, body, soul, and spirit, for God to have residence. Now, this is important for us to understand because we are living in the hour that shall see those which are asleep will be raised up from the grave, and those who are alive until then shall receive a change in their body. And that's you and I. From his servant Jehovah Jireh, Brother Branham said, when you touch him, the high priest of your confession, who is a great seed of Abraham through God's promise, then you take on his spirit in the fullness of his resurrection power. He fills you and charges you with his goodness, with his mercy, and his power of faith to call anything that's contrary to God's promise as though it isn't there. Don't even look at it, and we march on. Again, from another sermon called Acts of the Holy Spirit, Brother Branham said, When a man's ever born truly of the Spirit of God, and from the crown of his head to the ends of his toenails, he's been changed by the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his own selfish ideas have faded away. And God has complete control of that man. He will believe every written word of the Lord Jesus and practice the same. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell can't prevail against it. Amen. Now notice he says, it's been changed by the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus, and his own selfish ideas have faded away. That's why Paul says that we must die to self. And you can't help but die to self if Christ is living your life. You can't help it. In fact, you don't even like yourself. You look at yourself and you despise yourself. Because you're comparing his life in you versus your own life. That means he has died to self, and the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ is now in control. Then Brother Branham says from his sermon, earnestly contending for the faith, and remember, Paul said, if you be any otherwise minded, God will reveal it to you. And when God reveals it to you, if the body obeys that confession, then you know who's in the control tower. Then you know that the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit is in there and is living and abiding. Hallelujah. From earnestly contending for the faith, Brother Ram said, now look, you can be just as fundamental. People preach the virgin birth, the death, burial, resurrection, and second coming. That's true. I couldn't fuss with you about that. You believe it, and it's truth, and I do too. But so did Balaam. So did Israel. But what Balak failed to see there, down in their camp, this camp, they had signs and wonders following them. That's what they failed to say today. They're just as fundamental as we are. They believe it just the same as we do, but they deny that there is a resurrection power working among the people. Well did the Holy Spirit speak that it would be that way. Paul said, in the last days, they'd be heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but would deny the power thereof. Hallelujah. What do you think John 14:12 is all about? It's about the resurrection power the very nature and the very life of the same God who created the heavens and the earth, living and abiding in you. And if that nature performed in one vessel a certain way, it's going to have to perform in other vessels the same way. Now notice he said they failed to see it, and they failed to say it. Yet God said that he would make our body to obey our confession. But they failed to say it because they failed to see it. Now the Apostle Paul continues, in verse 12 he tells us, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to self, to live after self. For if you live after self, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of your body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Therefore," I ask the question, what's leading you today? Is it self? Or is it the Spirit of God? "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit," God's Spirit, "itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." And the way God's Spirit will bear witness with our spirit is when God is living your life for you, and he will bear witness with your spirit that your spirit is truly in sync with his spirit when your actions are Holy Ghost actions. Now, Brother Branham said in his sermon, Rising of the Sun, paragraph 118, "For now," and notice, "we are redeemed by him, and now risen with him." That's what Easter means to the people, risen with him. Now notice, now we have his spirit in us. The abstract deed, fully paid. No, you don't say, "Well, I hope I made it," or "I hope I make it." You've already made it. Not, "I will make it." I've already made it. I never made it. He made it for me. See, not me, it's him. Well, Brother Bram, they say, I don't care what they say. He made it for me. That's all I'm caring about. I just want to see him manifested. And how can you do it? Call him down? Nope. He's in you. So, see, he's in you. In other words, we all long to see the manifestation of Christ. And Brother Bram is saying here, don't look out there, look in here. Do you see Christ living in you? Do you see him, his word, manifesting in you? That's what it's all about. That's what Easter is all about. That's what Christianity is all about. It's not a bunch of words and works and doing this and doing that and you can't do this and you can't do that. That has nothing to do with Christianity. That's legalism. Christianity is Christ made alive in you. His Holy Spirit living your life for you. You say, "Well then, Lord, if I can just get myself out of the way, you can manifest myself." How can you do it? Because you ordained it so. All that the Father has given me will come to me. The whole world is waiting for you to manifest as sons of God. It's already been spoken. It's already been ordained so. It's just a matter of you just letting go and letting God. Hallelujah. Yes, we are ordained to it. He ordained that there would be sons of God who would manifest to the world that they were sons of God. He ordained that there would be people who would be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. He ordained it. He ordained that there would be people who received the spirit of adoption and would be positionally placed in the family. And he's not talking about in the millennium. He's speaking about now. Jesus said, "The works that I do shall you do also." He also said, "These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed." That is what Brother Branham said in a sermon explaining healing in Jairus. He said, "The devils are just trying to scare you out of something. He's trying to put something off somewhere else. Say, well, some of these days you'll be this. You are now. We are now resurrected with Christ Jesus. His Spirit's living in us. It doesn't matter about this flesh. It can go away and come back again." Hallelujah. Now we're sons of God. Now we're seated together in heavenly places. Now we have all powers in heaven and earth. See? Now we have it. Not in the millennium. We won't need it then. We've got it now. In fact, did you know you won't even have the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the millennium? You know that? That's an earnest. It's a down payment. Because your whole life will be Holy Ghost. You don't need to earn a down payment.
Right now, we're sons of God. It doesn't appear what we shall be, but we know that we'll be like Him. What you are here is a reflection of what you are somewhere else. Those who He called, He justifies. Is that right? Those who He justifies, He has glorified. Already in the presence of the Father, we have a glorified body. Wasn't that deep? All right? Well, we'll find out whether it's right or not. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. Is that right? That's right. So right now, and what we are there is a reflection, or here rather, what we are here is a reflection of what we are somewhere else. So if your deeds are evil, you know where it comes from. You know where your other body is waiting. Then in the next paragraph of Rising of the Sun, paragraph 119, Brother Brown says, with all that evidence collected with us now this morning, oh, I just think of that song. Oh, that on that resurrection morning when death's cord will be broken, we shall rise. Hallelujah. We shall rise. Y'all know this song? Yep. On the resurrection morning. You know. Okay. You believe that? We shall rise. In Him, we become part of Him. The Easter, the revealed secret of God, like it was then, of life after death. We are now alive. We were once dead in sin and trespasses, but the true Easter seal has broken death from around us. And I'm alive. The Easter seal at the beginning broke the seal of the Roman seal, the Easter seal, that he was sealed up. And man, when they had died, was gone, but he broke that seal and he revealed the secret. And now God, by his Holy Spirit, has broken that seal from around our lives. And Christ has revealed that he lives in us. For now we are quickened with him. Oh, page after page, we shall rise. Hallelujah, we shall rise. Amen. On that resurrection morning when death's bars are broken, we shall rise. Hallelujah, we shall rise. Oh, aren't you glad? I'm so glad. Way back down yonder in a little old coal shed one morning, the seals were broken and I raised with him a new creature, his quickening power, the Son of God. Brother Brown keeps going back to that time in that coal shed. But he had that experience with God, that first experience with God. And now I'll just skip ahead to paragraph 127 from the Rising of the Sun. He said, and now, see, now you are already resurrected. When God raised him up, he raised you up. The sun is just now on you. And now you're growing into a blossom of life. Remember, he said, when you've heard from your theophany, he said, when the Holy Spirit comes in, he says it comes in like about the size of a button on a man's shirt. He said that like a little light. He said then when word is piled upon word, it begins to take over every fiber of the body. So here he's telling us you are already resurrected. 2/3 of you, Patty, are resurrected. We're just waiting for the body to come into subjection to his spirit, our spirit. He says, now you're growing into a blossom of life. Like he was to be resurrected completely in the last day. Your potentials you have now. Why do you know? Your soul changed, didn't it? How many feel your soul has changed? I don't mind. Your body come in obedience to it, didn't it? Say amen. Into obedience to what? To a church? The Word, which is the life. Jesus said, my words are spirit and their life. Your body has come into obedience to the Word. Right, Peter? See? Now listen. It is Easter with Jesus. He says, which is the life. Then you are now resurrected from the dead. It is Easter with Jesus and I. It's Easter with you and Jesus. It's Easter with you, I, and Jesus. We are all, Jesus, you and I, we're all resurrected together. And we will rise in the last day, even though our spirits leave our body, even though our bodies rust, may go to the dust, may they be burnt up, or may they be at the bottom of the sea. The Bible said an angel poured out upon the sea, and everything that died, his vial upon the sea, and everything that died come up, and there's nothing can hide us or separate us from the God that we love so well has raised us up together. Now this is so beautiful what Brother Branham is saying here, because notice he says, now you are already resurrected. Then he said, and now you're growing into a blossoming life. And then he said, why do you know? Your soul changed, didn't it? Your body come into obedience to it, didn't it? Into obedience to what? A church? The Word, which is the life. Then you are now resurrected from the dead. I'm so thankful for a vindicated prophet to show me this. That I am already resurrected. It's just, this body has nothing to do with it. It's my soul, my spirit has been quickened by the power of a resurrection life, by the power of an endless life. Now notice in Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself then will bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So how does God's Spirit bear witness with our spirit? Well, He's the Word, isn't He? And He is the life, isn't He? And when we are born again and filled with His Spirit and His life, it brings our bodies subject to the Word. That's God bearing witness with your spirit, with your life. Hallelujah. And we see manifested in our body His Word and His life. Now, from Brother Graham Sherman's second seal, he said, when Jesus incarnates Himself in His people, the very life that was in Christ is in this person. What would you do if you took the life out of a grapevine and put it into a pumpkin vine? It wouldn't bear pumpkins no more. It'd bear grapes, see? What if you took the life out of a peach tree and put it into a pear tree? Would it bear pears? No. It would bear peaches. The life tells what it is. See, when you hear people say that they got the Holy Ghost and then deny this Word, there's something wrong. The Holy Ghost that wrote that Word, and Jesus said, if a man has my Spirit in him, he will do my works. Now listen to this. If a man has my Spirit in him, he will do my works. You want to read that? If you want to, put it down. St. John 14:12. He that believeth in me, the works that I do shall he do also. Even more than this shall he do, for I go to my Father. See? Then he sanctifies and cleanses himself so that he can stand before God. That drop of ink falls there and takes him across the chasm. See? Now watch. Satan, when he incarnates himself in his subjects, they do the works that he did. Don't you see what he did? What did he do? He come right to that innocent woman to deceive her. And that's exactly what some of these devils do. They come right into a place and say, well, a little pastor just started up somewhere, come in and say, oh, if you just join up with us. See? The same devil that devils work. Now, that's the truth. And when Satan becomes incarnate in his church, if there be a devil, then they are the ones that does the murdering and the killing and so forth, because Satan is a killer in the first place, a liar. And see, all right. What does Satan do when he becomes incarnate among the people? It's his duty to be shrewd. He is shrewd. You search the Bible, you show me where God ever dealt with intellectual people. Hunt for it and see if it isn't always the intellectuals that get devil-possessed. Look at what we have in Washington, a bunch of pedophiles running the government. That's devil possession. Oh, they're smart. They've got doctor's degrees and PhDs and LLDs and master's degrees and everything else, and they're devil-possessed people. Period. And it's not just this country. It's all around the world. The elites all around the world. They've got the highest of educations. And they've opened themselves up to Satan like you wouldn't believe. Children sacrificed and everything else. You say, oh, that's nonsense. That's the truth. It's been going on for years and years. Look, it went on back in the days of Moab. Isn't it interesting? They just sent a Moab to Moab. Hallelujah. It's been going on. Look, how many ever seen the story of Ruth? Read it in the Bible. You know there was children that were worshipped. I mean, not children were worshipped. They were killed in their worship of Dagon, the fish god. What do you think they're doing today? The owl, the great owl, like they have out here in California. It's all pagan worship. They sold their selves to the devil. You can go online and you can see all these rock stars and all these Hollywood entertainers and things. And they say they all made a pact with the devil, and that's when things turned around for them. And that's when they started doing really, really well. And you look at the end of their life and versus the beginning of their life, and they look like haggard, just terribly spent human waste is what they look like. You want that kind of an end? So listen to the words of Jesus. Woe unto you, for you build the sepulchres of the prophets, religious, you know, and your fathers killed them. Truly you bear witness that you allow the deeds of your father. For they indeed killed them, and you build their sepulchres.
So that's kind of working together, isn't it?
Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe unto you lawyers!
You can hardly be a politician today if you're not one.
Woe unto you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering you hindered. And he said these things unto them, and the scribes and Pharisees began to urge him vehemently to provoke him to speak of many things, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. Look, that's in the papers all today. I mean, you look at the campaign comes in and they get searched, they get wiretapped, they get this and that and this and that. What are they looking for? They were looking for something to make the presidency illegitimate instead of the vote of the people. It's exactly what they did to Jesus. Now, I'm not trying to make Trump like Jesus. You know, he's your president. Man born in sin, shaped iniquity, come forth to world speaking lies. Now listen. Listen again to the words of William Branham from his sermon, The Second Seal. And when a man turns down the gospel, Satan marks him. Where? At his ear. He deafens him so he can't hear the truth no more. And he's finished. My. He stays with that group that he's with if he won't hear the truth. No, well, you say, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. The truth makes free. But see, you turn it down, you lose that freedom. The truth makes free. God marks his when they come. God marks his by vindicating his promise word through them. That's exactly St. John 14:12. How does God mark you? What is the seal of God? Yeah, and what does the seal of God do? Mark John 14:12. He said God marks them. Now listen to this. God marks his when they come. God marks his by vindicating his promised word through them. That's exactly St. John 14:12. And another thing, if you want to put it down, Mark 16, Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now notice, Brother Bram tells us that the way that God marks his own is with signs and wonders following. How does Satan mark his? By just believing what God said. How does God mark his? They believe. And because they believe, they do. Then listen to what he says next. Because there are some who would have you to believe, God limits that to just the apostles or just his prophets. But that is not what God said. I can show you where God put it in the Bible, and you tell me where he took it out. Now listen to what Brother Bram says next, because he is telling you exactly what I just said. He says, now, let us just take that a minute. Was he joking? Congregation says no. Did he just mean the apostles, as some would tell us? Congregation says no. Sound familiar? Now listen, as we hear God's prophet continue. Watch and read the background of it. Go into where? All the world. Preach this gospel to what? Every creature. It is not even one third of the way have met it yet. These signs shall follow in all the world to every creature. Wherever this gospel is preached, these signs shall follow them that believe. Not just to one little handful. Well, that would exclude just one person too, wouldn't it? Like a fellow one time told me, God only gave the 12 apostles gifts of healing. And, oh, many of the brethren is sitting here when he raised up and he said that. See? He got enough of it in a few minutes. So now notice, all the world, every creature, these signs shall follow. Don't take Satan's unbelieving mark. Now, he will put it on you tonight if he can do it. He will poke you up against the wall and you walk out and say, well, I don't know about that. And you go home. You just go home and study it. And then be sincere and pray. Because everything is too perfectly scriptural at this very hour, this sacred hour of time. It's done been for years proved. Come right up to it and this to the hour. This is the time. And now we don't let him poke that in your ear, his unbelieving mark, see? Because he was an unbeliever to begin with. He doubted it, all right? Oh, don't even let him take the scripture with his wisdom and twist it and pervert it with his own wisdom into reasoning powers. You just be humble and say, God said so, and that's all there is to it. Now notice Brother Branham is speaking in terms of the very life expressed in the very word, or the very, which is the very word manifested or vindicated. Then when we are filled with his spirit, your body cannot help but to express John 14:12. Why? Because he'll make your body obey your confession. You don't confess it, it'll never happen. You confess it, it'll happen, because your body will obey your confession. Because the word is life. And the expression of the word is the expression of the life. And then he goes into the other spirit, the other life, which is of the life of Satan. And he says, when Satan incarnates a person, that person will do Satan's works. So you are either going to manifest God life or Satan life, and you can't get around it. Now we can prove it by scripture. Turn with me to John 8, verse 37. He says, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your Father. How do they see it? Through the DNA. Yeah, or the spiritual DNA. Through the life. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You see, even Jesus himself went back to Genesis 1 in verse 11. Every seed after his kind. Brother Rand came on the scene, the only preacher in 2,000 years besides Paul that went back into that seed. He said, you do the deeds of your father. And they said unto him, we be not born of fornication. We're not serpent seed. We have one Father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my words. You cannot understand my words. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? And Jesus answered, I am not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory, for there is one that seeketh and judges. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou art a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, if any man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead, when thou makest thyself? And Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I have known him, and if I should say I have not known him, I would be a liar just like you. But I know him and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not even 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Notice the contention between the two lineages, the seed of God and the seed of the serpent. Notice how Jesus tells them, if God were your Father, you would know the truth. You would know the word that spoke of you. That's exactly what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, no man can understand the things of God except the Spirit of God be in you. So Jesus said, if God were your Father, you'd know the truth. You see how it ties together? In other words, if you're not born again by the Spirit of God and God's own Spirit is living in you, then there is no way for you to understand the things of God. In fact, the Apostle Paul says, it is impossible for the unregenerate mind to know the things of God. It can only be done by the Spirit of God. Let's just read 1 Corinthians 2:10. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. So if God's Spirit doesn't reveal them to you, you're not going to know them. You can't figure them out. You can't go to college and learn the things of God. You go to college, you get colder and you get drawn away from God by degrees. But God has revealed them. And look, I taught at the university for 10 years. I'd say that 99% of the professors are just stupid. They're really stupid people. And I'm not talking that just because, you know, I've got an attitude. You take the people that come in from the business world and they teach the classes, they know what they're talking about. You take guys that have never worked a day in their life, like Barack Obama, who are just a bunch of professors, and they get their degrees and they think that they know, and they don't have a clue. They have no clue. The professors are some of the stupidest. And I'll tell you this, the physicians, the medical doctors in America, about 80% of them are the dumbest people, and yet they've got the highest educations. So you don't get smarter by degrees, you get dumber by degrees. The men that have really made something out of themselves and made it just fashioned it and actually just changed this world are men that quit college, men that didn't have a college degree. Look, Steve Jobs. I don't care for his lifestyle, but Steve Jobs changed this world. Everybody in the world has a cell phone just about. Bill Gates quit college. Sam Walton didn't even finish high school. Those are men that changed things. They made a mark in this world. As I've always said, you don't have to have a college degree to be a leader. But then you hire the guys with the college degrees to fill in the blanks, to do the tedious work. But the real thinkers and movers, you know why they drop out of college? Because the college professors don't even have a clue themselves what they're teaching or what they're supposed to be teaching. And these guys are so much further beyond what the college professor can offer them. They say, nonsense. Why would I want to sit and waste another 2 or 3 years of my life and listen to some guy that has no clue but a theory? He's never put into practice these theories. And so they go and they do, and they perform, and they do well. Every one of them. Okay, sorry. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither indeed can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, it is impossible for any man to know the things of God unless the Spirit of God is in him. That means the life of God must be in him, or it matters not what he thinks that he knows, because without the Spirit of God, you're only guessing. But you're not capable of knowing. From paragraph 14 of The Rising of the Sun, Brother Branham said, "What good would any of it do to you, whether you had Lent or not Lent, if there is no life in you? It's only a memorial, which there's nothing against it, but they have certainly carried out their traditions, but they left off the main thing. Satan doesn't care how religious you are or how right you are in your doctrine. If you miss that life, you won't come up anyhow. No matter how religious or how good or how many churches you belong to or will belong to, it doesn't matter one thing unless you have been born again. Therefore, if God raised up Jesus from the dead, did he raise him up for a memorial? Or is this resurrection morning only a one day in the year or a certain day that we celebrate this? Or are we benefactors of his resurrection? What does it mean to me? What does it mean to you? Now we believe by faith that he raised from the dead, but what has that got to do with me?" That was 2,000 years ago. Brother Brown putting out the question there. Is religion just tradition? Something that we come on Sunday, maybe on Wednesday? Is just something that we do for something to do? Or do we
have we entered into that relationship with God that we can't get enough of it? We come and we worship in spirit and truth. We come to find out a little bit more of who we are, what it's all about.
From who is this Melchizedek, Brother Graham said, before the foundation of the world, his name is put on the Lamb's Book of Life. Then from that, he became the Word, the Theophany, that he could appear and disappear, and then he became flesh and returned back again, resurrected that same body in a glorified condition. But you bypass the Theophany and become flesh man to be tempted by sin. And then if this earthly tabernacle is dissolved, we have one already waiting. We have not yet the body, but look, when this body receives the Spirit of God, the immortal life inside of you, it throws this body in subjection to God. Hallelujah. He that's born of God does not commit sin. He cannot sin. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. They walk not after the flesh, they walk after the Spirit. There you are. See, that throws your body subject. You don't have to say, oh, if I could just quit drinking, if I could just get into Christ. That's all of it. See? Because your body is subject to the Spirit, it's no more subject to the things of the world. They're dead. They are dead. Your sins are buried in baptism, and you are a new creation in Christ, and your body becoming subject to the Spirit, you try to live the right kind of a life. And from the rising of the sun in closing, paragraph 22. Brother Ram says, then he said, when he come forth on that morning, because I live, you shall live also. Not only was he the beneficiary of the resurrection, but all those seed that was resting in God's great providence was a benefactor of that resurrection to life. Because he said, because I live, you shall live also. That was the breaking of the seal, because he was brought up, so will everyone that's in Christ be brought up with him. At this glorious sunrise, God had proven or vindicated his word. All the glooms and doubts that had moved in people's minds was taken away, because here was he who once lived and eat and drink and fellowship with mankind that said, I have power to lay my life down and I have power to raise it up again. And now, not only that he made the statement, but he proved it to be the truth. Oh, what a glorious thing that is. I'm sure this morning that even we who believe it cannot comprehend what a great thing that was. Because he raised from the dead, we also have already risen from the dead, for we were in him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your great life, your great Spirit that lives in us. And knowing, Father, they could come into here and just shoot these bodies full of bullets, but they'll rise again. They can't keep us down. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would help us, oh God, to surrender our bodies. That the leading of your Holy Spirit, you said sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. That each and every one of us here in this building and those on the air watching would surrender their bodies to you, Lord. And you would make their body obey their confession. Because we know that is the great life, the eternal life that lays within us. And that is what this resurrection day, this Easter day is all about. It's not looking back at 2,000 years ago, but only in the light of knowing that you've proven, you've vindicated your eternal life. And that eternal life that was in Christ Jesus, Paul said, if that same life that raised him from the dead dwells in us, it will also quicken our mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in us. So it's all about you, Father. All about you. Living and breathing in our bodies, using our bodies. And so, Lord, we ask that you would possess us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'd like to sing a song. It's called Just the Time I Feel That I've Been Caught in the Mire of Self. Just the Time I Feel My Mind Has Been Bought by Worldly Wealth. That's when the breeze begins to blow, I know the Spirit's call, and all my worldly wanderings just melt into love. Just
Just the time I feel that I've been caught in the mire of self. Just the time I feel my mind's been bought by worldly wealth. That's when the breeze begins to blow, I know the Spirit's call. And all my worldly wanderings just melt into His love.
All of you that know this, let's sing together.
Lord, I want to know You more. Deep within my soul, I want to know You. Lord, I want to know You, to feel Your heart and know Your mind. Looking in Your Word stirs up within me cries that say, I want to know You. Lord, I want to know You more. When my daily needs ordinarily lose life and song, when my heart begins to bleed, sensitivity to Him is gone. I've run the race, but set my own pace and faced a shattered soul. But the gentle arms of Jesus warms my hunger to behold. Lord, I want to know You more. Deep within my soul, I want to know You. Lord, I want to know You, to feel Your heart and know Your mind. Looking in Your Word stirs up within me cries that say, I want to know You. Lord, I want to know You more.
Let's just sing a song, to be like Jesus.
To be like Jesus. To